Happy Monday, Lincoln County. It is Monday, April 22nd, 2024, and free football fans out there, it is spring game week. We'll have coverage on Saturday here on KODY, but first, Mugs in the Morning brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Agent Pete Full, Sprint Rogo for Home Life and Auto. Call the Shelter Guys of North Platte. And time and temperature here brought to you by Grease Monkey. 43 degrees outside. The sun is shining. Little clouds in the sky. I think it's going to be the nicest day of the week today. High of 69 with some sun and then some clouds as well. And then sunny tomorrow too, 64. But looks like maybe a potential for another wet weekend. And Rick, I know you were at the Kearney Gun Show. Was it rainy out in Kearney this weekend?
No, not that I saw. I mean, it was windy and cool on Saturday and a little better on Sunday.
Okay.
Overall, wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it was kind of in the forecast. We were going to get some showers and maybe a slight chance of snow, but I don't think that happened. I was not in North Platte this weekend, so I was kind of having Tanner filling me in on the weather. So, an early look at this weekend, a chance of shower and thunderstorms, and then Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely. Same deal on Sunday with highs in the 60s. So we could use that precipitation, and it really begins on Thursday night is our best chance, and then into Friday it looks like it's gonna be a rainy day as well. So maybe a rainy weekend this upcoming weekend. I'm sure the fans down in Lincoln would maybe like some sun for that spring game, but I'm here with Senator Jacobson. Senator, it's good to have you in studio here.
Hey, it's great to be home.
Hey, I bet.
Was an interesting session. It was the short session, but it felt fairly long here. A lot of that probably had to do with the late nights, really the last month and a half and last couple of weeks. That when we say late nights, we were going late nights. And so got pretty grueling towards the end, but although very disappointing end as far as property tax relief and getting LB 388 passed, there were a lot of good things that did get accomplished this year, but there's really much more that needs to be done.
So do we think we're going to see a special session?
Well, it all really depends. I think the governor made it pretty clear that he's looking at the potential for a special session. You know, he's really looking at two issues. Number one, clearly, first and foremost, he was extremely disappointed that we did not get property tax relief. And I would tell you there's a couple of things that go into that. I am hopeful that there will be a short special session. But if we're going to have a special session, we better have a deal before you go in. Again, just simply calling a special session and saying we're going to debate things, it doesn't work. You're going to need to have 33 senators prepared to vote for cloture on whatever issue we bring to a special session. Keep in mind also that a special session, the governor can call as many as he wants, but they have to be single issue special sessions. They can only deal with one issue.
Can it repeat?
It probably could, but it has to be a single issue.
Jack and I were discussing this last week, is that I don't think there's any debate on whether or not he wants an issue when he stands up there and says, enjoy halftime. It's going to happen. Now, to force his hand, he could call a special session. You don't get anything done. And he immediately calls another one on the same issue.
Yeah,
just
I think
to get his way.
Well, I think what you'll find is, you know, first of all, we've heard nothing since the recess. And of course, there are a number of senators who have plans for the summer. Keep in mind, this wasn't intended to be a full-time job, although anybody that ran for the legislature not believing it wasn't a quasi-full-time job probably was misleading themselves and maybe not really fully committed to what needs to get done, because I can tell you since the January, it's been a full-time job for me, and it's going to continue through the summer, as even with or without a special session, as there are a number of items that need to get done this summer and getting prepped for next year. So if you really want to be successful down there, you've got to commit a tremendous amount of time to it. I would tell you this, that I know Senator Brewer leaves the 1st of May. He's going back to the Ukraine. I don't know how long he's going to stay there. I would bet that it's going to be 2, 3, 4 weeks. So in my mind, if there is a special session, it will likely occur in July or later. And I think really what the governor needs to do is he's going to need to work with senators on an individual basis or small groups and get consensus that they are indeed willing to vote for a certain package. Now, let me just say that LB 388, which was the measure that was brought forward, LB 388 in the final version, okay, forget what you saw out of the gate. When the bill was first introduced, it was a shell bill. So it was kind of interesting. I got emails from people who said, hey, I'm opposed to LB 388. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because right now it's just a shell bill. So I'm not sure what you're opposed to, because
other than the title.
That's all that's out there. They had been getting emails, obviously, from different lobbying groups, right, that were opposed to items in what was being discussed. So what was actually in the bill, the final version, was first and foremost, we would front load the income tax rebate that was passed back in 2020. Okay, so what is that? Well, the income tax rebate, remember, is when you file your income tax return, the last couple of years, you've been able to get, it started doing this, it was 6% the first year, it's all the way up to 30%. So 30% of the property taxes that you paid towards your public school or your community college, 30% of that number would be refundable to you as a refundable, a non-refundable income tax return. What do I mean by non-refundable? I mean that whether you file a return or not, whether you owe any taxes or not, this money comes back to you either way. But you had to file your return, you had to go through a lot of gymnastics, you had to use, generally speaking, you had to work with an accountant to get it done out of the gate. It was very, way too complicated. And people, if that had smaller returns or individually filing their returns, didn't bother doing it. And so there was a lot of that went unclaimed. The other thing is it really detached what was really intended for property tax relief from people really understanding it was really property tax relief. So last summer when we were meeting, I made it pretty clear that one thing we absolutely needed to do was we needed to front load that credit. And so rather than making you file an income tax return to get that back or file it on your income tax return, figure out what that number is, send that money to the county so that they can apply it to your property tax bill. So that when your property tax statement comes in the mail, you're going to look at it, and currently you're going to see your property taxes, you're going to see a state tax tax credit, which has been in place for a long time now. So that there's that tax credit. So in addition to that tax credit, add to that this 30% of your school tax rebate. Put it in that credit so that when you get your property tax statement, it's here's the gross amount of the property taxes, here are the two property tax credits, and here's the net you pay the net amount, so that when your property tax statement comes out in December of this year, you can pay it in full yet this year based upon that net number, or you'd pay half next year by the 1st of May and the other half by the 1st of September. So let people see up front that's real savings up front. Don't make them go through a bunch of gymnastics. So 388 would do that. It would cause that that income tax rebate to go away, and it would become part of a property tax credit. Now, what if you, if the only property tax you pay are on your home, and let's say your home is financed and it's being escrowed, so when you make your payments, your property taxes are escrowed. Well, those individuals are going to see immediate, or they're going to see a response, because then what's going to happen is the bank or whoever has your mortgage, they're going to recalculate your escrow payments every year. So when they get the reduced property taxes, you're going to see your house payment go down, and it's going to go down to the extent of those property tax credits.
The offset credits.
And it'll offset the credits. The only reason you won't see a full reduction is you'll probably see some increase in the cost of your insurance if that's also being escrowed, which will net some of that out. But you'll see a reduction in payment. So I made it clear last summer to the group that that's something we needed to do. That was in 388. The other thing that was in there then was the governor wanted to bring in, originally he wanted to raise as much as $1 billion, but I think he settled around $750 million of new revenue sources. So we wanted to look for, given the fact that the sales tax is collected in 2023 at the state level was only about $2.3 billion compared to property taxes that were income taxes of a little over $4 billion, and of course local property tax collections by all the local political subdivisions was about $5.3 billion. So clearly sales tax are way under the mark in terms of percentage of the total taxes being collected. So that's why there was a target to look at income tax or sales taxes and maybe eliminating some sales tax exemptions and potentially bringing some things on that aren't being taxed today. And the goal was stay away from groceries, prescription drugs, stay away from anything that is a necessity from a consumable standpoint, from a consumer standpoint, and look at those things that are more optional. Now, the only thing that was probably a little dicey about what's optional is it would be taxing veterinary services for small animals, not for pets. It would not include livestock, only pets. It would include a tax on vaping products. It would increase the cigarette tax, which, by the way, the cigarette tax currently is $1.64, and this would move the cigarette tax to $2, so it'd be a 36-cent increase. Originally, it was going to be a $2 increase, 36-cent increase. Nebraska is among the lowest in the nation in terms of cigarette tax. We're in the bottom five, I believe, today. And this would move us probably still below half. Over half the states would have a higher cigarette tax than us if we went to $2. So looking at vaping products, tax on raise the cigarette tax, vet supply or veterinary services for small animals. And then there, but the most controversial of them all was a tax on digital advertisers who have gross revenues that exceed $1 billion a year. Basically, who is that? That's Amazon. That's Meta.
Right.
Okay. The problem with that is that there are reusers. In other words, there are people local. There are sales that get made at local advertisers, local stations, and that are having to collect that to send it up to Meta and Amazon and others. And frankly, the bigger problem with that was constitutionality. Is it constitutional with the Commerce Clause of the Constitution to be able to discriminate only against certain advertisers, and then especially then also discriminating against those with gross sales over a certain amount? So that was guaranteed there would be a lawsuit if indeed that would be included in the bill.
You've talked about that before.
Yeah. It would produce about somewhere between 53 and $60 million a year in property tax or in sales tax revenue. So I urged the governor to take that out. They didn't follow my advice on that. They left it in the bill. I believe at the end of the day, that's what sunk the bill, was there was a huge pushback from the digital advertisers that pushed back on that. And then in the original bill, was to increase the sales tax rate by 1% at the state level from 5.5 to 6.5, and that got pulled out and in the last version, so it did not include that. So I do believe that probably if everything would have been left in there except the digital advertising tax, we probably could have gotten 388 passed. However, it was so late in the session before we got to that compromise that I don't think there was time to really debate that. So I think if a special session is called, and I'm sure there will be, that there will be further discussion about what's the most objectionable things in there. But at a minimum, we need to get that prebate done. We need to get that income tax rebate brought forward and put on your property tax as a reduction so that people can really see what we've already accomplished.
Right.
And I think that there will be, that would be something that people would support. So I think that's a possibility. How much they will accept beyond that, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. But I think that'd be the key.
Yeah. I was going to mention this to you, not necessarily in context with what we're talking about, but in general. I was at the Carney Gun Show all weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And a good friend of mine, he says, you can tell what the economy is doing by how gun shows go. And it was very slow.
Oh, really?
So that's what's on people's minds.
Yeah. Well, I would tell you right now, if you look in the ag economy, you know, livestock, particularly cattle, are doing incredibly well. I mean, you know, you're really looking at the prices of cull cows right now are bringing just stupidly high numbers. Look at what a calf is worth today. I don't think anybody that's a rancher ever dreamed you'd be selling could sell a newborn or a weaned calf for the prices that we're looking at today. But at the same time, you're starting to look at what does it cost to buy a feeder to put in the feed yard,
right?
And those prices are astronomical. But it has to do with supply and demand, and so we see that there's some certainly on the cow calf side. If you have grass, and that's key. It's got to rain. It's got to continue to rain. You got to stop the fires. But if you can do that, you know, the ranchers have had a pretty good time if they've avoided the natural disasters. The grain side, however, is a different story. You know, you could sell corn off the combine last fall at $7.50 a bushel. Right now, you're probably lucky to get $4.50 a bushel. New crop corn would be under $5. So when you start looking at cash flows for corn and soybeans, they're going to be pretty tough. And unless we see grain prices coming higher between now and next fall, I think you'll see a lot of red ink by a lot of grain producers. And I think as a result of that, used equipment prices are down. Just drive by an equipment dealer lot. If you drove by it a year ago and 2 years ago, you didn't hardly see anything on the lot. Mm-hmm. And today they're full.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're full of both new and used equipment. You're seeing more equipment sales. And the same thing with car dealers. You know, they went through the pandemic and there was not very little on the lot. Now most of the lots are pretty full. Particularly if you got an electric vehicle, those aren't selling real well these days.
Never will.
And I'm not sure they will in this part of the country if you're driving very far. But I think that we are seeing a shift in the economy, and I think people's spending habits are starting to follow, and that is going to make a difference. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yep.
All right, talking here with Senator Mike Jacobson. And Senator, anything else you have to touch on regarding last week or potentially an upcoming special session this summer?
Well, I think that, you know, the governor also touched on the winner-take-all issue. You know, I'll be honest with you, you need 33 votes. And any vote that I've counted, there's not 33 votes out there. And until you can get 33 on an issue, I'm not sure why you'd call a special session for everybody just to argue with each other and take a vote and come up short. So I think the governor realizes that. I think one of the things he made in his outgoing speech last week was he may look at a special session on both those issues, but I don't think you'll see a special session until we have consensus on either one or both those issues, and then there'd be a special session potentially for two special sessions, one for each issue. But at this point, I will be surprised if there's a special session on winner take all, only because I just don't think the votes are there. I would think beyond that, I think his real focus right now is he really wants to deliver property tax relief. But we've got to do it in a way where we're not increasing other taxes, because that seems to be a real pushback from people. And then the question is, where do you get the revenue? Do you take that away from, and maybe don't fully implement the income tax reductions that are being phased in, and do you take some of that money for an income tax are for basically the property tax reductions? And that's very dicey as well. But so I think it's going to take probably next session with a new set of senators. We've got 14 senators that are either term limited or not running for election again, and we'll be bringing in replacements for them. And we'll have a new legislature next session, and that's probably the best time to really attack all of this when you're not in the middle of an election cycle as well. And I think there's a number of senators who are up for election this year, and they're concerned about how their constituents are looking at this. And like most issues, it's hard for your constituents to understand all of the issues that we're talking about. And they get it in the media, and they're getting it from mailings and different things. And that's not necessarily the facts, but you get what you read, right? You know, so I think that's one of the issues too. Also, just want to make a comment about the mail service. I know there was a group that is really pushing hard. I know Senator Fisher at the federal level. This really is a federal issue, but certainly I've reached out to her and others to do what we can, do what I can at the local level to keep the Postal Service here. This regional postal center is very important to North Platte and the region. It's a big economic driver, like so many other things that we do. So it's imperative we keep it here. I think you heard a lot of stories about what's happening with our mail service already when you're seeing mail sent to Denver. I don't see that improving if the center gets moved. So we've got to do everything we can to try to retain it.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, we appreciate you coming in. And good question. Will you be in Lincoln for the spring game Saturday?
I will.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what kind of product. I'm pretty optimistic. I really am.
That's good. Yeah. It's good to be optimistic.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for the time. Week.